T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time myself even getting here. Really appreciate the fans and good win by our football team. A lot of work to do. You saw it. Too loose with the football. The momentum changed, and we can't let that happen. So we've got a lot of work to do, and we've got to learn from it.
Yes, they do have a lot to learn, but they got to win. So 3-0, and we're hashing it all. Hashing it all? No, you'll hash it all. Hash it all out? Breaking it all down?
Hashing it all out.
Hashing it all out.
Yeah, I think that's the way to put it.
A little brain freeze there. Jeremy is out today. Howard and Brayton with you here. Bills Football Monday presented by Northwest Bank. Increasing the value of you. Going to get some calls. We've got Murph going to join us in this segment. We spent, I need to spend a little time. I just keep doing this. I did it in the summer and the first 2 weeks. Look, the defense is good. I feel like I don't have to pay attention to them. You know, they're the smart kid in the class. I don't have to make sure they've done their homework. I don't have to make sure they've submitted their report. You know, they know what they're doing. I got to pay special attention to the offensive guys. But I did want to bring up just how dominant the defense was in that first half. And I know we got a caller wants to point out what happened in the fourth quarter with them. So we'll get to that. And we'll get to some other issues as well. And we'll get to your calls. Bob in Amherst, you're on WGR on Bills Football Monday. Go right ahead.
Hey, Howard. So my one of my biggest gripes with this team, and it's been all the way back to past leadership, past ownership, is just the fact that the lack of desire to put a nail in the coffin. The rule that saved that whole thing from going south yesterday says it best: player gave himself up. And it's just, you know, that it just kind of really ticks me off that these guys take a lead and they just don't have that drive to put a nail in that coffin. And that goes all the way back to coaching. The coach just does not, drive that into the team to just, or you make play calls to make that kind of decision.
What didn't you like specifically? Because they were still passing the football and had no semblance of passing offense in the second half until the drive.
Well, I mean, Josh was running for his life pretty much the whole game.
I guess my point is, Bob, I think they want to put the game away. I think you can make a case. The first drive of the third quarter, they come out, no passes. 5 plays, all runs. And you could look at it and go, okay, a little bit early to be playing. Hey, let's run the football, play it safe, and trust our defense. But then they come out and they try passing the ball the rest of the third quarter, and it stunk.
Yeah, but what do you think Belichick would have said to that player if he just didn't even try to return the ball?
How many other guys in the league would have done the same thing? I'm going to bet most of the other guys in the league would have known the game is over. I'm down, over, done. I mean, he gave himself up. That's the rule. I bet most of the guys in the league would have fallen down and done nothing. Why would you return the ball? What happens if you fumble?
Well, I don't know. I wouldn't have ran it back into my own end zone, that's for sure.
Well, okay. I mean, whatever. I'm not going to – Bob, thanks. They're trying to win the game. I mean, I'm getting a lot of tweets on this too. Take the foot off the pedal, blah, 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 all that stuff. The only time I would say that is if you look at that first drive, and like I said, run, 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 run. 5 run plays. I'm like, your run game wasn't working that well in the first half. What are you doing? Please don't tell me you're going to go 30 minutes of let's run the ball, reel in Josh, and play really good defense. I think that's taking your foot off the gas pedal. But they didn't do that. They came out on the next drive and threw the ball. And in fact, the quarterback was killing them in the second half, up to the game-winning drive. So I don't think they took their foot off the gas pedal. I don't think this is, they don't put the nail in the coffin. You know, they don't make plays all the time. That game should have been a blowout at halftime. But what happened? Tommy Sweeney doesn't hold on to a touchdown pass. T.J. Yeldon fumbles. Josh Allen takes a grounding penalty, takes you out of field goal range. Josh Allen has Zay Jones open deep for first and goal. He misses him. He throws the ball out of bounds. That's not – I don't think there is a conscious or subconscious effort to not try and put the game away. No team – I shouldn't say this. The Bills did not play yesterday to keep the game close in the second half, okay? I believe they were trying to expand on the lead. But their young quarterback was up and down. The running game was okay. It was better in the second half. Actually, they probably should have leaned on it more. When they did, they moved the ball in the third quarter. When they got bogged down, when they had trouble, it's when they tried to pass the ball. And again, it was doing absolutely nothing until the 78-yard drive, which had the big pass play to Dawson Knox. But I outside of that first drive of the third quarter, I did not think this was a matter of they've taken the foot off the gas pedal, they're going too safe, they're just trying to run the ball and put it away with defense. I don't think that was the case. Rick in Cincinnati, you're on WGR, go right ahead.
Hey, how are you? I agree with you on that, Bob is probably incorrect. I live in Cincinnati, I can tell you this, the Cincinnati people and organization had that game chalked up as a win preseason and even going into this week, they felt like they were going to win the game. Completely dominant defensive performance, as you mentioned, but what do you think happened in the second half? Just adjustments made by the Bengals? It seemed like Dalton was just having his way. No pressure on him.
Yeah.
Time to throw.
I thought he did a nice job of getting the ball out. I thought, honestly, thanks for the call. I thought Tyler Boyd. They couldn't stop Tyler Boyd. Mixon ran a little better, although I think his biggest play was probably the screen pass. I thought Andy Dalton did a better job of getting the ball out, slant passes, shorter passes, just making better decisions, quicker releases. As I said, the Bills did a really good job of taking John Ross out of the game. He was a non-factor, but Boyd, our hero from the Baltimore game, had a really big second half. And as you know, if you look at it, here's the thing too. It was really the fourth quarter, okay? The offense for the Bengals did nothing in the first half. They didn't really do much in the third quarter either. Their first touchdown drive, when do they get it? After the crazy bad interception by Josh Allen, the Bengals offense starts at the 22. That's kind of a tough spot for the Bills defense. So they had one really good touchdown drive, and I would credit Andy Dalton and Tyler Boyd. And as I said, there was a really big, I assume there was just a blown coverage. I mean, there's a screen to Joe Mixon. There's one guy out there for the Bills. It's Tremaine Edmonds, and he's blocked one-on-one. There is nobody else out there wearing a Bills uniform. So they had one really good drive, but for the most part, I thought the defense had a very good day. For three games, the defense has been very good. 803-0550 to join us. Mike in Buffalo is next, Bills Football Monday. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, how y'all doing on this Big Three Monday?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I just want to say one thing I know about this season, our defense is good. And I feel like if we put up 21 points a game on offense, it's going to be hard to beat us. I want to know how y'all feel about that.
I'd like more than 21. I think you're playing with fire. I think, again, with the offense yesterday, there were plays they left on the field. Now, you can talk about obvious stuff like turnovers, the Josh Allen interception, the T.J. Yeldon fumble. The Yeldon fumble's in the red zone. Okay, at least 3 points out of that. Okay. By the way, quick little aside, because we never really mentioned special teams. I think Hausch Money is back. But that's 3 points right there. You know, again, missed plays. Tommy Sweeney can't hold on to that touchdown. Zay Jones is open at the 5. The pass is overthrown. It sails out of bounds. Josh, they're in field goal range at the Cincinnati 30. Josh takes the grounding penalty. Really bad decision on his part. Okay, there's another 3 points that you threw away. So, no, you need more than 21. If you're telling me the offense is going to get 21, I'm going to say you're going to have a really stressful season because you're asking your defense to be dominant week in, week out. There are going to be days where they aren't. There are going to be days where the other team gets more than 21 points, where the offense has to win a football game. The Bills' offense isn't at that point yet. It is making strides. It is progressing. It is going through growing pains right now. There are a number of positives. I still feel really good about what I've seen from Josh Allen over three games. I think he is developing. But there are a lot of things to do. The offensive line has now struggled for the last game and a half in terms of pass rush pressure. They need to get a more consistent running game. You know, they still have too many self-inflicted errors, whether it's turnovers, whether it's penalties, whether it's bad decisions, whether it's drops. They have to clean up their act considerably. And by Sunday would be a really good idea because you're going to play a team that's much better than the Bengals and the Jets and the Giants. 21, not enough. I need more than that. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 as we get your calls in Bills Football Monday. Ray and Clarence, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Howard, I so enjoy Brian Daboll's play calling, I gotta tell you.
Yeah.
But one thing that's bothering me is they're using Allen too much. It's almost like they're treating him like a fullback. I can see in short down, you know, third and one at the goal line, but you know, the 40-yard line to kind of get 2-3 yards. I mean, they're going to get him hurt. You know how it is, open field for, you know, to hit a quarterback. And I really think that the end of rounds, I feel they're setting something up for play calling against New England or maybe a future team. They used that excessively yesterday, and I almost feel like, you know, a coordinator doesn't do something over and over for no reason.
Well, they've been showing it. I mean, they've been using it not just yesterday. You're talking about the jet sweeps to Isaiah McKenzie.
Yeah, I mean, I love the call, but didn't it like more and more yesterday? I just feel like they're playing like he was thinking ahead, which I like.
Well, they all do. Everybody does. Ray, they all do. First off, he's been showing the jet sweep since preseason, typically to McKenzie. When we were talking about like who makes the roster as a receiver, like, and we talked about Isaiah McKenzie's case, he's got good speed, and that's a valuable play in their playbook, and he can be used for that. And it was successful, although the last time they ran it, yesterday, I think they lost yardage on the play. It was blown up pretty good by the Bengals. A couple guys on the Bills didn't really do a good job of blocking it. I think, by and large, when you take in three games, I'm happy with Brian Daboll's play calling, too. We've said it before. I think, you know, you get better players, you'll be a better offensive coordinator. He's got more talent. He's got more versatility. In terms of what he can do and how he can call a game, I think he's got more flexibility. He does a good job of using different personnel groupings and being creative. Heck, they ran a jet sweep with a tight end, right, yesterday, right? Yeah. How often do you see that? I mean, if you got a really freakish athletic tight end, okay, but they ran a jet sweep with him. So I do like some of the things I'm seeing from Brian Daboll. As I said, I believe he feels he's got more weapons at his disposal. You know, when you have John Brown and you have Cole Beasley, and I think there's certainly some ability in the young tight ends, but they're raw, they're learning. We'll see what Tyler Kroft can add when he's healthy. Devin Singletary, they missed Devin Singletary. You know, we spent 2 weeks talking about, boy, I wish they'd get more carries for Devin Singletary. They missed him yesterday. He's an explosive running back who can get to the edge. Frank Gore is north-south, man. Give him the ball, and he is going straight up between the tackles. And Yeldon is not as explosive as Singletary either. So that's another weapon in the offense that was not there yesterday, and that's the guy they need to get to the edges and open things up for the running game. So there are more weapons. I like what he's doing. I'm, for the most part, happy with the game plans and the offensive play calling to this point of the season. Let's see. We're going to Jim on Grand Island next. Jim, welcome to Bills Football Monday on WGR.
Good morning, Howard. I had two quick points, and I agree with you on Allen getting better each week. I think the interception, while grossly ill-timed and just the worst play at the worst time, was a direct result of his intentional grounding. It was almost an identical play, and I'm sure he was spoken to in the locker room about taking him out of field goal position and trying to make a better play. And I just think that's a young quarterback who's learning on the fly. And, you know, like I said, it turned the game a little bit for, you know, made it a lot tighter than it needed to be. But I think that's part of the process of a young guy learning. And my other point is, and I know you've already spoken about this, I really think they caught a break at the end when White intercepted that ball and ran back into the end zone. Because he could have very easily turned it upfield. That's because he's a live runner. And I just think they caught a break on him saying he gave up. And that goes back to me being the old get-off-my-lawn guy that I'm turning into with all this ridiculous celebration. And I don't like it. And someday it's going to cost somebody a game. Because
But it is the rule. We've seen it before. It is the rule. If you give your play yourself up, which he did. He did not try and return the interception. That's the rule. Now, I don't know if he actually knows it at the time, but the rule is you go down, play is over.
Yeah, but he wasn't touched, and that's my point.
I know, but I'm telling you, the rule is if you go down and give yourself up, the play is over.
Wow. All right, I've seen guys go down on interceptions and get up and go, wait, I wasn't touched, and go the other way.
But he didn't. He didn't try and run the ball. He gave himself up and said, I'm not running. I'm dropping down with the ball. That's the rule in the NFL. Now, again, Jim, I don't know if Trey White knew that. Maybe he did, in which case, okay. Or if not, sure. Would I rather he didn't do that? Yes, I'd rather him just run to the sideline and celebrate and not necessarily go through the end zone. But, you know, that is the rule. They were correct in calling it the way they called it. Once you go down and you do not try and return, the play is over.
I guess I agree my point. I just would have rather seen him run to the sideline.
Okay, fair enough. All right. Appreciate the call. Thank you. 803-0550 as we talk about the Bills win over the Bengals with you. Tony in Buffalo, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning. So happy Victory Monday, first off. Quick point I just wanted to touch on.
It's Patriot Monday, huh? That's pretty cool. All right. Let's hope next week is Victory Bills Football Monday after the Patriots game.
Yeah, fingers crossed, right? That's the most important thing. But really quick, just wanted to touch on Tyler Kroft. So when he comes back, I mean, granted, he does come back because, honestly, who knows what the injuries he's had, unfortunately, lately. But what is his role on this team with Dawson Knox, obviously, expanding as a really good option? Obviously, you saw the jet sweep with him. We saw flying over defenders, everything like that. And Tommy Sweeney, obviously, the drop touchdown pass was pretty big. But aside from that, I mean, he was pretty good as well. What's the role that Tyler Kroft is going to play in this offense once he comes back?
A couple things. A few things, Tony. Thanks for the call. First, he's a veteran player, which is good. I mean, you have young tight ends. It's a difficult position. There's a lot of responsibility, a lot to learn. You have two really young players trying to learn that position on the fly in Dawson Knox and Tommy Sweeney, who have showed some promising moments, but obviously still have a lot to learn. So you bring in another veteran presence on your offense. That's a good thing at a position where you have two young guys as your top pass catching weapons at tight end. Right, Lee Smith is here for blocking. We know that he's not really going to be a weapon in the passing offense. So you add a veteran there. You add a guy who's a pretty good target, big size. Sal, we were talking about this with Sal last week. It's a red zone weapon. He would be another guy to have as a good red zone weapon. So you add that. He's a good blocker. He's not a great blocker, but he's a good enough blocker. This is a team that, you know, runs a lot of two tight end sets. They did it quite often in the second half yesterday. They've run three tight end formations. So you have another body. You've got a veteran guy. You've had maybe a 40-catch season a couple years back in Cincinnati. It's another good option for Josh Allen, and for sure it would be a good target to have in the red zone. So you add all that. 803-0550 to join us. Phone lines open. If you got a busy signal, call now. What did you like about yesterday? What didn't you like about yesterday? And whatever else you want to get to, that's fine too. We've been focusing on the Bills, obviously. If there's anything else from around the NFL, I want to get into the standings a little bit. What happened around the league yesterday, we'll do that too. It is Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Snap. Josh going to throw it. Looks, fires into the end zone. Caught. Touchdown. Dawson Knox. Touchdown, Buffalo. The Bills strike first with 3:03 to play here in the first quarter. A one-yard touchdown pass to the rookie, Dawson Knox.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We understand that we left a lot of things out in the field, a couple turnovers here and there. There's one that I can't do, you know, allowed them to get some momentum, get back in the game. But our team's resilient. Defense played a heck of a game again. They're going to go out there and put forth their best effort every game. You know, we know that. And we got to come out there and we got to take care of business when we have to. You know, when we get down to, you know, the red zone area, we got to finish, you know, getting down 14-17 with a few minutes left there. We just wanted to trust each other, rely on each other, go out there and just kind of stay calm, stay relaxed. Coach McDermott does a great job of teaching us situational football. There's no situation we don't feel like we can handle as a team, as a unit. So we went out there and we did our part. Defense got up there and they did their part, and that's how you win football games.
Josh Allen some of his comments after the game yesterday. He threw for 243 yards, had a touchdown and an interception. He ran for 46 yards. And his running set up the Frank Gore game-winning one-yard touchdown run. 21-17, the Bills beat the Bengals. Four takeaways for the defense. Buffalo now 3-0 for the first time since 2011. Guess who's coming to town? The 3-0 New England Patriots, who've been listed as an early 7-point favorite. They beat the Jets yesterday 30-14. Kansas City is 3-0, beating Baltimore 33-28. Patrick Mahomes, three passing touchdowns. The Colts beat Atlanta, had a big lead and held on, 27-24. Houston over the Chargers, that was a kind of a weird game to try and figure out who to root for from a Bills perspective. I think it was better for Houston to win. I'll try and get to that at some point this morning when we talk about the standings and what's going on in the AFC. Anyway, the Texans take it 27-20. Rams beat the Browns last night, so the Browns are 1-2. Pittsburgh is now 0-3. They lost at San Francisco despite the fact the 49ers had five giveaways in that game. Daniel Jones, what a debut. Oh, I got to check the headlines in the New York papers. They're always entertaining. Two passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns, a come-from-behind win. Saquon Barkley left the game with a high ankle sprain, or what's being reported as a high ankle sprain. Teddy Bridgewater makes his first start in place of Drew Brees, and the Saints get a road win over Seattle. Your Monday Night Football game tonight, Chicago-Washington will have it here on WGR. The Sabres sent 15 players out of the main camp, including C.J. Smith, who would have to go through waivers. We have details. And Arto Ruotsalainen went to back to Finland. We have all details on that. All the roster moves, no real big surprises at WGR550.com. Houston clinched the AL West, and the Cardinals clinched a playoff spot. Those are your headlines. It is Bills Football Monday. On the Trey White play, do I want to do that next? Yes, Trey White play. Someone just sent me in the video. For the guy who was, relax. He gave himself up. That's the rule. And if you watch the video, someone just sent me in the video. It's a cell phone video, I think, from an end zone view. And you can see he gets up. He starts running towards the goal line. He turns and looks. I'm assuming for the officials to realize the whistle is blown. It blew before he crossed the plane of the goal line. He's looking back into the field, I'm pretty sure, to make sure the play's dead. He's looking at the officials. Everything's okay. His teammates are following him. He goes into the end zone. They celebrate, game over. There's plenty of stuff to be upset about. That's not one of them. 803-0550. Real quick on this tweet, because you know what? We're covering a lot of ground, and I try and get a bunch of different things in, and this tweet will allow me to do that. TJ tweeted in, what's up with the punter? I was working so I could only read the play-by-play feed. It seemed the punting was under par. Yeah, Mr. Borges did not have a good day yesterday. I actually thought he had a bad preseason, thought he was better in the first two games. You know, the game against the Giants, his net would have been affected by the 63-yard return. I thought he was punting better. Yesterday, not so much, and he had a really bad 22-yard punt. So, yeah, I would think that I think he's living on a week-by-week basis as far as the punting situation for the Bills. 803-0550 to join us. We are going to go to our Wester hotline and bring in John Murphy for his Football Monday segment with us, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Good morning, Mr. Murphy. How are you today?
Good morning, Howard. I'm well.
So, 3-0, Murph. Give me, I guess we'll start with Josh Allen. We always like to talk about his day and some good, some bad. And at the end of the day, he leads the game-winning touchdown drive. So give us your assessments of the young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I guess overall it was a bit of a step back for Josh, just in terms of decision-making. You know, when he had the four turnovers in the opener against the Jets, it was not as if he was making bad decisions, but I thought he made a couple of bad decisions yesterday, and it cost him. I thought he was throwing it pretty well. I mean, he had a lot of zip on his arm. He always does. He made a couple of nice throws, you know, forcing the ball into some good coverage. But there were a couple of times, and he was under duress most of the afternoon, and a couple of times when he was under heavy pressure, you know, a lot of duress, he made some bad decisions, and it wound up costing him, I think. So overall, I thought he was okay, but I know he can be better, and I'm sure he will recover from that yesterday.
Murph, do you think part of the issue is that whole thing of him always wanting to make the big play? We saw it last year. The Bills talked about it in the spring and the summer. Hey, it's okay to take what they're giving you. Get the ball out fast. It's a short play. It's a positive play. And he was doing that, I thought, against the Jets and the Giants too. And I wonder if maybe he's gotten back into, is he holding on the ball a little bit too long, or is he looking to make the bigger play? There were a couple throws yesterday where he threw downfield where he didn't throw the ball, and they ended up missing out on maybe a guy who was open short for a short gain. And I wonder if maybe that's back in his head again. He's just trying to make big plays.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, again, there was a lot of consistent pressure from Cincinnati.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought the offensive line didn't do Josh a ton of favors yesterday. Yeah. And I think that, you know, that kind of probably accelerates his clock and gets him kind of off kilter a little bit. And I thought that was evident. But, yeah, I do think he tried, you know, he missed receivers, open receivers downfield a couple of times. Not a lot, but a couple of times. And I think that maybe gets in his head a little bit. You know, he's still a developing quarterback. What was that, his 15th start, I believe, in the NFL yesterday? Not even a complete season
14,
yet.
I think, right? 11-3,
yeah.
Right? 14?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just think he's a guy who, you know, is developing and learning. And, yeah. And there was part of the process of learning is struggling a little bit. That's what he did yesterday. And he's so competitive, you know. And again, you know, we're kind of glossing over the game-winning touchdown drive, you know, because no matter what happens before, he always seems to be ready to compete at the end of the game if he needs to, and he's done it before. You know, he did it against the Jets just a couple of weeks ago. So I think he's got a lot of elements in place to be really successful, but as I said, it was just a bit of a step back, I thought, yesterday in terms of his decision-making.
Murph, the Bills are 3-0. Are they good?
Oh, yeah, they're pretty good. I don't know if they're great yet. I mean, if you look at who they've beaten and the nature of those wins, there's every time they've won this year, you know, you go in the locker room and say, well, and they say it. We don't have to say it. They say, oh, we got a lot to clean up. We got a lot of work to work on here. And that was certainly clear yesterday. You know what they are? They're resourceful more than anything. And my partner on Sundays, Eric Wood, made this point a couple of times late in the broadcast when the Bills finally were in position to win. He said they've won in different ways each time, each of the three times. You know, not many teams cruise through an NFL season. There are different challenges every week. Sometimes the opponent is really good. Sometimes you're not that great. But you got to be resourceful, I think, and find a way to win. And that's what this team seems to be doing really well, winning in a couple of different ways. You know, great defense the first couple of weeks and just enough plays yesterday. That bodes well. They're 3-0. I mean, the great Bill Parcells says, you are what your record says you are, and that's what they are right now. Thanks mostly, I think, to their resourcefulness, the fact that they don't back down, you know.
And I think there's an element of taking care of business, Murph. I mean, we know they're not beating the behemoths of the NFL, but still, they're winning the games. I mean, you'd be feeling far worse if they didn't come back against the Jets, or they blew the game against the Giants, or they didn't get the game-winning touchdown drive yesterday. I think you can be 3-0 and understand there are still some warts, so to speak, that the offense is still very much so a unit that is in progress and needs to get better with its pass protection and needs better decision-making from its quarterback and needs a more consistent running game. But at the end of the day, I thought Eric's point was really good. Whatever, you're finding different ways to win football games, and you get into the playoffs based on wins, not quality of wins.
That's right. And I've talked to coaches over the years in different sports. They'll tell you, if you can win and have stuff to work on, that's the ideal situation, because you can go to practice this week and say, yeah, we won, but we got to clean this up and we got to work on this, and we didn't do this well the other day. And I think that's kind of the position the Bills are in and have been in since this season began.
Murph, the defense, let's talk a little bit about them. It was unbelievable. Their first half performance is about as dominating as you can be. And even still, you know, the first touchdown is the short field after the interception. They played well for three quarters and then had some struggles with Dalton in the fourth quarter. Just, I guess, your overall assessment of the defense, which through three games has been as advertised. They look really, really good.
Yeah, I thought they were pretty good overall yesterday. But again, it wasn't just the Buffalo defense. You know, Cincinnati offense had something to do with that, and they adjusted, and they finally got Joe Mixon and their running game going a little bit, which had been really noticeably absent through their first two games. And Dalton is a capable quarterback who can find the open man and hit him. And they've got those good receivers, and the Bills seem to be paying a lot of attention to John Ross, which was understandable. And so Tyler Boyd was finding room to make some plays. So I don't think the defense was a letdown or a collapse, but I think they were up against a capable quarterback with a lot of weapons, and they finally, you know, the Bengals, as they did a couple of weeks earlier against Seattle, they put those weapons together and started making some plays. It took them an entire, two and a half, almost three full quarters to get it going. Once they got it going, they were pretty good, Bengals.
You know what, Murph? Micah Hyde had such a big game yesterday, and Jordan Poyer is just such a steady player. Leslie Frazier must sleep really well at night. So when he lays his head down on the pillow and he knows his safeties are Hyde and Poyer, that's got to be a fantastic feeling.
Yeah, you know, I was talking to my buddy Dan Horde, who's the play-by-play voice of the Bengals yesterday, we're going over the depth chart, and I got to the safeties, and he said those are the two best the best safety combination in the game. And I said, yeah, you might be right. But you know what you're going to hear about those two this week? Bill Belichick appreciates Hyde and Poyer. You know, he has mentioned that their knack for disguising coverages makes the Bills' defense extremely difficult to play against. I'm sure that will come up this week in the great expansive interviews that Coach Belichick will do this week.
If he doesn't give you the evil eye. Yeah, I thought, you know what, in fact, Chris Brown did a great piece at BuffaloBills.com. I don't remember when it was, Murph. I don't know if it was last week or before the Giants game, but he did a piece about that, and there were some really good quotes in there about how these guys look like they're out of position when you're getting ready to snap the ball as the opposing quarterback, and somehow they're able to run and rally to the spot where you didn't think they were going to be.
Yeah, that's just one part of their game, too, I think, as a group. I mean, each of them laid out some pretty serious hits yesterday, and they've done that on a consistent basis so far this year and going back to last year. Yeah, I think they're good quality all-around safeties. They're both pretty good leaders in their own way. I think the Bills are really well set at safety, and they even have some depth there too, as a matter of fact.
All right, Murph, we'll talk to you on Friday before the big game against New England.
Great. Thanks, Howard.
John Murphy joining us on Bills Football Monday, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. We'll get into the standings a little bit when we get back. What happened yesterday from our perspective here in Buffalo? What was good? What was bad? Mike tweeted in, I'm just looking at this while we're talking to Murph. It's unbelievable. LOL, we're 3-0 and we're mad because we didn't dominate teams. Like, come on. Hey, if that's the worst thing about what's going on right now, the people are upset they didn't win by enough, I'll take it. They're 3-0. We're at a point now where we're dissecting when wins aren't by enough points. I'll take the wins and I'll take this discussion. Let's see. Oh, let's give away a gift card, shall we? Let's try and make your Monday. How about giving away a Ted's gift card? If you know the Ted's Hot Player of the Week, call now. We identified that player last hour. Call us right now and identify said player. 644-9878. We'll start with caller number 5. We'll take the first correct caller, Ted's Hot Player of the Week. If you win, you get a $50 gift card from Ted's Hot Dogs.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Okay. I lied. We only have about a 3-minute segment. You know me. I am a stickler for getting out on time and hitting the brakes. So I have more than 3 minutes to say about the standings and the games yesterday and all that stuff. So we'll push that. Paul's going to join us at 9, and we'll get to that probably after Paul or in 9:30, whatever. We'll definitely get to it in the next hour. So we'll hold off on that. 803-0550 to join us this morning, 888-550-2550, as we talk about what you liked, what you didn't like from the game yesterday. I did want to bring up real quick, we talked about this with Sal. I had to follow this from Twitter. I was not at the game yesterday, so I didn't see the pregame ceremony to honor Pancho Villa. But I thought the people who were tweeting out the videos and clips, Jim Kelly was down there. I saw that. And Ezra Castro's girlfriend was in tears as she was hugging Jim Kelly. It was a very emotional scene. Really nice, from what I could tell, really nice tribute. Extremely well done with Ezra's kids being there. Loved Harrison Phillips, who I guess became really good friends with Ezra Castro over the years. It was a really good feature on that and an interesting piece that John Scott ran on Spectrum I saw over the weekend about Harrison Phillips' relationship with Pancho. And he came running out of the tunnel. You know, the defense comes down, the Bills are coming out of the tunnel, running onto the field, and everybody's running out. You see, whoa, what's up? Somebody's wearing a sombrero. And he had the Pancho sombrero on to honor his memory, which I thought was really good. So job well done by the Buffalo Bills. A very nice tribute. I loved everything that I saw that reporters were tweeting out. I want to say it was Thad Brown, I believe is a Rochester TV sportscaster, had a video in the tunnel of Ezra's son. And someone was shouting out, like, Viva Los Bills. And he shouted back, a little kid, shouted back, Viva Los Bills. And today we're going to beat the Bengals. Really cool stuff. It was emotional and yet really cool to see. And all the kids with the backpacks and everything that was done in his honor was tremendous. Just wanted to mention that. So we're talking about the Bills' performance yesterday, getting the win. 3-0, kind of an up-and-down day for Josh Allen and the Bills' offense. Another stupendous performance, really, by the Bills' defense. A dominant first half. They end up with four takeaways. They took John Ross out of the game. You know, it's hard to single out individual players, but Micah Hyde had a really big game. He had a great strip of John Ross, I believe it was Ross, and took the ball out of him, out of his hands on a catch to cause one of those turnovers. He had the tip at the end. Hit a Bengal, then Hyde, and then went into Trey Wright's hands. And the caller pointed out earlier, this is one of the many things you love about a veteran safety like Micah Hyde, who's like having a coach on the field. There was a play where Kevin Johnson was lined up on the left side of the Bills' defense, and Micah Hyde is yelling, he's gesturing, he's doing everything he can before the snap to get Kevin Johnson's attention. He does. He tells Johnson, get over, you're supposed to be on this side. Johnson lines up on the right side, and he blitzes. And he ends up getting the sack. It is so, let's talk about this with Murph. What a great feeling. When Hyde and Poyer were signed, neither guy was trumpeted, right? As a, what a big signing. This is great. These two guys have been two of the best signings in the history of Bills free agent signings. They are really invaluable to that defense, from playmaking to knowledge of the defense to whatever they have to do to help this team win games. So just wanted to and Jordan Phillips had a big game yesterday, really provided a strong presence inside for the Bills and made a handful of plays yesterday too. All right, Paul's going to join us. We'll get his thoughts. We'll get into the standings and what happened yesterday and how it impacts the Bills. It is Bills Football Monday. Hey, we got phone lines open once again. Would love to hear from you. Let me know what you liked about the game yesterday, what you didn't like, whatever else you want to talk about. You got some other thoughts on games from around the league in week three. That's fine. Bills Football Monday on WGR is presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday, exclusively on WGR Sports Radio 550, brought to you by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.